guys, please. Good morning, friends who are watching online. Let's all stand together. This morning, Tommy's going to be talking about finding peace in the storm and how apropos for the week of weather that we've had this week, that friends and family across our country have seen devastation in a hurricane, but to know that our God is greater, that our God is bigger. It's a promise that I'm thankful for, that I get to go back to, hold on to hope. So let's rest in that today. Let's find peace in the middle of the storm. Let's worship together.
Yeah. Don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up high. Don't feel no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from.
this morning?
Well, it always amazes me, God's timing. I plan this series. I used to plan my series 3 months out and kind of get a feel for where God wanted us to go as a church and what was going on in our world. And boy, with all of this that's happened since March, I've decided to just plan 2 months out, and because the world changes so drastically within a few weeks, doesn't it? Just when we think we've got a handle on what the new normal is, there's no normal, and something different happens. But back in early July, I was planning this series on God's presence, and I wanted to wrap up the series with this message on this sailing adventure that Jesus and his disciples had when Jesus speaks those powerful words that we just sang, "Peace be still." Margaret and I have lived through hurricanes, and we have family that live in Lake Charles, Louisiana, some of our closest family. And so as we saw the predictions that was going to be the site where the hurricane came on this week, we watched the Weather Channel all day. Margaret had it on while she was working at home, and as I was in and out of the house, she kept updating me on what was happening and where it was. And we were so relieved when we discovered that most of our family had left and evacuated and gone to safer places. And we saw Jim Cantore, the guy on the Weather Channel, standing in front of very familiar sights to us, different locations around Lake Charles where Margaret grew up. And we had a connection with this story of the storm because we knew people who lived there and we knew that community well, and there was just this connection. But we also had a connection because we've been through multiple hurricanes in our life. Several years ago, when Margaret's dad was in his last days of living and passing away with cancer, a hurricane was coming on shore in Lake Charles that same weekend. And I'll never forget, she was there with her family. I was in Oklahoma. And the frantic drive that I made through East Texas at speeds that should not be reported, with my three kids trying to get to my wife to be with her as she faced not only the storm of a hurricane, but also of her passing of her father. But then we lived in Daytona Beach, and we endured four hurricanes in 2004. And it was an awful season. The first hurricane, we're going to be, you know, tough, strong people. So we boarded up our windows like everybody else in our community did, and we stayed inside our house while the storm was beating outside. That's a creepy feeling to not be able to see out the windows. But we'd peek out the door and the lightning strikes and the wind blowing and the palm trees crashing and all the things that took place. The second one, we decided we were going to open a shelter at our Christian school that we had there in Florida. So we did that, and we rode out the storm with several of our friends and from our community and from church. The third one, we decided enough's enough. We took my mom and we evacuated to Jackson, Mississippi, to my sister and brother-in-law's home. But we came home to a house that had been flooded with multiple different things, ocean water, sewer water, and rainwater. What a wonderful way to open your front door and see a frog dead laying upside down in your living room. But that's what we came home to, and all the stuff that was being done with that. And so whenever I hear the term hurricane or I see it on the radar, I get these emotions. I think it's called PTSD from all the struggles there. But storms are unpredictable. Even the best technology can't fully predict what they will be. We kept hearing on Wednesday the water is going to rise to levels that are a certain amount, and we had friends that had decided to stay and part of our family, and I kept texting a pastor friend of mine saying, "You guys need to get out." But it wasn't as bad in that respect as they thought it was going to be. So they're unpredictable, and storms in life are unpredictable too. When we seem to be on cruise control, you know, and life seems to be going well and everything's smooth sailing, then something happens. And there are numerous threats. Storms are dangerous. That's what caused fear and anxiety in us this week. What would happen to our families there? And when we in our lives seem to think that we're having smooth sailing, then something happens, a medical diagnosis. We have a whole section in our prayer list on Wednesdays of people who are dealing with cancer, that awful disease. And it starts with little children that we've been praying for months up to older adults. Storms that they never saw coming. An accident takes place. A relationship issue. A financial challenge. And some, when those things happen, we feel what those people must have felt this week with this hurricane. We feel threatened. We feel attacked. We're desperate to get to a place of safety and stability and peace and tranquility. And I don't know about you, but 2020 seems a lot like 2004 did to us. Not in storms of hurricanes, but storms of health and storms of anger and frustration that are boiling over. Political storms. What an interesting season for an election year to happen during this year. Employment storms, spiritual attacks. I don't know about you, but boy, do we need God during these storms we're going through right now. And how people cope with those life storms without knowing Him. I don't know how they do it. David said it so well when he said, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence?" And David was one of those guys that we think, boy, if ever a guy had it all together, David did. But he went through storms just like we do. And this psalm is a psalm of comfort. David is realizing with all the challenges that he faced in his life, he says, there is no storm, there is no attack, there is no obstacle that could separate me from the presence of God. He felt alone at times when he was in the midst of the storms, and he needed to be reminded of this fact that would sustain him. And I think during our storms, we need to be reminded of this as well. So this text I want us to look at this morning is one of those sailing stories from the scripture. There are many of them. One of my favorites is the other one where Jesus is not in the boat, but Jesus comes walking to the disciples in the midst of the storm on the water. And one of my favorite Peter moments when Peter says, "Can I get out and walk to you?" And Jesus says, "Come on out, big boy." But Peter starts to sink because he takes his focus off Jesus. And then there's the one where I love it in the book of Acts where Paul is sailing and he tells him this is not a good time to sail. He's not a sailor. He's not a captain of a ship, but he listens to God and he says, you know, even common sense says we shouldn't sail now, but they do. But instead of being the "I told you so" guy, in the midst of the storm, Paul is the guy saying, you know what? God's going to take care of us. No one's going to be lost. And then we always go back to the Old Testament story where Jonah is on board the ship and the guys on the ship are thinking it's his fault. He's the one that's been disobedient to God. Let's throw him overboard and the seas will calm down. I had a pastor friend that stayed down there and I texted him. I said, "What are you going to do when the waters rise?" And I told Margaret after I got off the text with him, I said, you know, maybe they should throw him overboard and the hurricane will shift. You know, they tried it in the Old Testament. Didn't work there. So what will be our approach in our storm that we face today? I want you to look with me in Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41. Jesus has just spent some incredible times teaching. He's exhausted physically. I think he's exhausted emotionally and maybe even drained spiritually. And so he says, we need to go on a trip. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the winds were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, I don't think any of the words that we find in the scripture are there by accident. The Word of God has incredible depth to take us to the truth that we're seeking. This is one of those stories that this week is interesting that as I'm working through this text, we're facing this hurricane and it came to a new life to me as I read it. And Mark is very careful in his words to describe it to us. He tells us that this trip across the lake was Jesus' idea. Jesus said to the disciples, let's go across the lake. It was at his direction. Now, what does that teach me? This clarifies to me the fact that even when we are in God's will, we have to deal with some storms along the way in our life. But Jesus had set this course. He had told the disciples, we're going together and we're going to sail. They were in the will of God. And I know many people that get confused about this. They tried to escape some storms of life by changing direction and following God. They figured the reason they were having so many problems was that they were out of God's will. And so some people have come to me saying, you know what? I figured out I'm in such a mess. I'm going to start obeying. I'll start attending church. And if I do, then I'll have no more problems. They are confused that storms are a result of disobedience. This story teaches us that even in the will of God, we're going to have to face some storms. It may not be a matter of disobedience on our part. The point is that we live in a fallen world, and Jesus knows that we will face storms, and Jesus wants us to go through those storms with him, take him with us on the journey, and that if we live by faith and we live not by sight, we can't escape his presence. Where can I go from his presence? Take him with you on your life journey. So that's what Mark says. He says they took him with them. And this was an interesting phrase. And it was interesting. When I began to study this phrase, it says, just as he was. Most of the commentators that I read this week didn't want to even deal with this. They just kind of jumped over that phrase. But for some reason, it really stuck in my heart, and I couldn't get away with it. I finally found one courageous commentator who would talk about it. It's a strange phrase. I haven't seen it before until this week. This commentator said that Jesus was exhausted physically from the stress of teaching and ministry, just as he was. He wanted to go to a less populated area across the lake. Jesus was looking for a break. His body was weary, and he needed that nap in the boat. And it's interesting that while they're going through the storm and they're freaking out, he was silent for a period while the disciples were struggling with the storm. But listen, he was still there in the boat with them. I'm not saying that God gets tired and God ignores us, but I am saying that even when we don't feel him, when we don't necessarily hear him, he is still there just as he is. He is present during the noise and the confusion of our personal storm. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Ever heard that phrase? We've been singing it a lot during this storm of 2020. Even when I don't feel it. Even when they didn't feel it, when the storm was around them, Jesus was there. Even in his exhausted physical state, Jesus was still there in the boat, and he was there in the storm. Listen, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but there was no weather channel back in Jesus' day. And there was no weather radar. And the only thing, if you study about this lake that they're sailing on, the only thing predictable about this lake was that storms were unpredictable. And it was well known that this lake looked so calm and so serene on most days. But even on a day where the sun was shining and the sky was blue and there were no clouds in the sky, these weather systems would form up in these ravines and in these valleys and come rushing down into this little lake. And out of the clear blue, boom, you're in the middle of a storm. But here's Jesus, the Bible says, asleep on the cushion. He wasn't on the beach watching from a distance. He wasn't disengaged from their struggle. He was right there in the middle of it, in the boat with them. And I want that comforts me to know that when the unpredictable storm comes to my life, that he is there with me too in the boat. We have brought him with us on this discipleship walk. When we are freaking out, when we're worrying and questioning, he is present and accounted for. I remember back in that season in 2004 when we had so much damage to clean up. We had multiple housing issues to resolve. My mother lived in a retirement community. In the first hurricane, her home was damaged, but it was intact. And we thought, well, We knew our home was flooded after the second one, so we said, we'll stay at Mom's. We drove into Mom's neighborhood, and the roof on her home looked like it had been rolled up like a sardine can. It was a double-wide little park home that she lived in. So it was damaged and flooded too. Where are we going to live? What are we going to do? Our church building was damaged. Our school building was damaged. Our home was. Erin's place where she lived on campus at Warner University was damaged. So she was going to have to. I was trying to figure out, how am I going to find room and shelter for all of these people? And so what an unbelievable thing. And so I tried to balance all of this stuff in my life to restore and rebuild. But the day that our staff went over to our house with us to help get our wet carpet out, we cut it up and we rolled it up into smaller pieces to take it out to the curb. There was still water standing in our neighborhood, and I got into my truck and the staff jumped in the back, all except Lindsay, who was our youth pastor's wife, and she was pregnant, so we let her ride in the front. Wasn't that nice of us? She got up front with me in the truck, and I looked over at Lindsay and I said, Lindsay, I've only felt this one time before. And that was the day after my cancer surgery in 1996. When I walked out of the hospital, I looked at Margaret and I said, I feel the peace that passes all understanding. And that same day was we drove out of our home. We knew we couldn't live there for a while. It was flooded. I said, Lindsay, I feel it today. It's not an emotion. It's something deeper than that. It's a spiritual experience to have that peace that you can't explain, that makes no sense whatsoever. It's an incredible peace that makes no sense to everyone else. When the storm's going on around it, you have that when Jesus is with you. But I love the humanity in this story, don't you? That the disciples, Jesus is asleep, and instead of saying, well, Jesus is not worried about it, I guess we shouldn't worry about it. Our heroes, the disciples, woke him up from his nap to not only stop the storm, but they woke Jesus up so that Jesus could teach him a lesson in faith and peace. And I'm relieved that when Jesus wakes up, he's not ticked off and throws the disciples overboard because they're having a human struggle during the storm. They were simply reacting to their surroundings and their situation. Listen, if I were in the boat with them, literally, it didn't look good for them, did it? There was a windstorm, scary. There were waves that were breaking into the boat. The boat was filling up. That's what the scripture says. All of these factors. Now, if you add up these human factors, wind, water in the boat, water filling up the boat, what's going to happen to the boat? Probably the boat's going to sink. And they were thinking, the boat's going to sink, we're going to die, we're going to drown. All of this added up to those results. Tell me I'm wrong. If you just look at the surroundings and the situation. And so they wake him up with some transparent, honest words. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? You ever talk to God that way? Come on, be honest with me. You know you have. You're not that super spiritual. That you've felt that way. As a pastor, people have come to me and they said, I feel so guilty because I've been so angry that God would allow this to happen in my life. I'm so frustrated with God at this point in time. You know what? I've always been able to look at people and say, you know what? I think he can handle it. And right here, Jesus is teaching that he can handle them being frustrated with this situation. Does he gently rebuke them? Yes, he does. Does he confront the fact that they are acting out of fear? Yes, he mentions that. But does he ignore their plea for help? No, in the storm, you know, I have the choice. I can react out of fear, or I can demonstrate through my life the faith that I have in him. But there are times when we are fearful that we just need to cry out to him and say, God, I just need to get reconnected to you. Jesus, wake up. We need to talk to you. But what was happening was they were forgetting about his promise. Jesus was not only on this journey with them. This journey was Jesus' idea, wasn't it? If Jesus is directing our lives, let me tell you something. We are promised safe passage. I don't want to sail with anybody else but Jesus. How about you? I don't want to go through life with anyone else but him. And Jesus stands up and says those words that even the wind and the waves had to obey. Peace, be still. There was a Methodist preacher by the name of Luther Bridges who was born back in 1884. And he married a lady by the name of Sarah, and they had three sons that were born to them. He was invited to come and minister in Kentucky at a conference in the year 1910. So he left his family in the safest place he could think of in the care of his father-in-law. And he made the trip to Kentucky. And there he spent 2 weeks. That's how long revivals would take place often back in those days, even longer. But 2 weeks. And they came to the culmination of this great revival meeting after 2 weeks of Luther Bridges preaching. And it was incredible. And they closed the service with this great joy. But when he got back to the home where he was staying, a phone call came for him. And he was excited to talk to his wife and tell her about all the blessings of this great meeting that God had called him to. But it wasn't her voice on the end of the line. He listened in silence to the news that a fire had burned down the house of his father-in-law, and his wife and all three of his sons had died in the blaze. This distraught father began to exercise his faith rather than his fear. And he sat down and wrote these words: "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low, fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow." How? How could a person who just heard that news write those words if he didn't understand the presence of God in the midst of great and tragic loss? Jesus was in the boat with this man as he sailed the journey with him. There's a more modern song I heard that speaks to this. Scott Crepane wrote, "Sometimes he calms the storm with a whispered, 'Peace be still.' He can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and lets the winds and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. He has a reason for each trial that we pass through in life, and though we're shaken, we cannot be pulled apart from Christ. No matter how the driving rain beats down on those who hold the faith, a heart of trust will always be a quiet, peaceful place." There's a phrase that Mark includes in this text that grabbed me too. He said, "There was great calm." When Jesus spoke those words, "Peace be still," great calm came upon them. The disciples, then suddenly they moved from fear and frustration and anger and worry to a place of great calm by simply turning over their storm to Jesus. Jesus rebukes the wind and he speaks to the sea, and immediately they both obey him and great calm comes upon the situation. Isn't that a great phrase? Great calm. I need more than medication can offer me. I need more than a drink can provide temporary escapes. I need a great calm when the storms of life are all around me. Our nation is at a place where we need to cry out to Jesus and hear him say, "Peace be still." We as his followers need to hear him again get up from his slumber and teach us this lesson of faith and trust. He has not abandoned us in this storm. And so he turns to us as his followers and he asks, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" As Scott Crepane said, sometimes he calms the storm, sometimes he calms his child. Our theology is challenged by the storms that we go through. You know, when I was in Bible college in systematic theology class, we learned, and I'll never forget, I got these three answers right on the test. What are the attributes of God? And we learned that God is omnipresent. And it means that God is everywhere all the time. There's no place I can go. And that's what David's saying, from his presence. God is always everywhere all the time. Do we believe that God is omniscient, that he knows everything, that when I'm in the midst of my storm, that he knows and he knows how I feel and what the storms that I face, because The Word became flesh and dwelt among us so that He could be omniscient about our feelings. Do we believe that God is omnipotent, that He is all-powerful, and that Jesus, being God in the flesh, could speak and the winds and the waves obeyed Him because He was omnipotent? Those three powerful things about God. Jesus got up from His nap to teach a master's lesson, a graduate level course in theology here in the boat. And He looked at them and says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you not know that I am omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient?" I don't know, I'm going to brag a little bit, but I have this uncanny ability to predict what sports announcers will say. Just ask my wife and ask Amanda, my daughter, that I can say something and immediately the announcer will say it. I'm not psychic or anything, but I can predict the next lines in movies and TV shows. And when this would happen, when Amanda was still living at home with us, we'd be watching a sports event. I would say, before the announcer said it, she would go, "Daddy, you're scaring me. How do you know that's what they're going to say?" And so even now when we watch something, and I'll look at Margaret when I come up with a line before the announcer does or something, and she'll go, "Okay, Daddy, you're scaring me. I just got this ability." Interesting that when Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, the disciples said, "Jesus, you're scaring me." That a man could do this, that even the winds and the waves, who then is this, they said. And the answer to their question about who this is was coming. They were learning who He was. Do you remember in the Old Testament, God told Joshua about this assurance? He said, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." Not going to go. And Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Do you think that when the disciples saw Jesus alive after the resurrection, they began to understand the fact that He would never leave them? Do you think they began to understand that they didn't have to live their lives in fear because He would never forsake them? And that if He could overcome death and the grave, He could handle anything that their life would dish out to them. Do you know, life did not get easy for the disciples even after Jesus rose from the dead. In fact, it got very difficult. They would face persecution and loss. The storms weren't over for them. But they had learned to live by their faith in who He was. And when He speaks, the storm obeys. So what's the point today? If you are His followers today, He still asks the same question. Why are you afraid? I tell you what, among all the people in our world today, those of us who walk with Jesus should be the people who are living by faith and not by fear. There's a lot of people who have allowed everything that's going on in the storm around us, not just in COVID-19, but in all the other storms around them, to force them into a life of fear. What's going to happen? Oh my, this is the worst. This is the most awful thing. And Jesus is saying, "Have you no faith?" Even the wind and the waves obey Him. The sea obeys Him. If you don't know Him, then He's not on your journey. Then you have a right to be afraid. But if you know Him and you follow Him, He wants you to understand today who He is and that He has the power to speak into your heart, "Peace, be still." God's got this. You know it? He hasn't left. He hasn't abandoned us. We're on the journey and Jesus is with us. Peace, be still. Stand with me, would you? In these closing moments, and maybe you've developed some real anxiety and struggle during this season. I had someone the other day tell me, he said, "Do you think this is the worst time that people have ever lived?" I said, "Well, you know, my parents lived through the Great Depression and World War II. And I don't know, in their time, I don't know if we can compare what we're going through to what they went through during those seasons. But God was still there. Jesus was still leading His people. He's building His church. He said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we got to hold to Him. When everything else is changing, He is unchanging too. We know that about Him. And He's still with us. If you need to surrender your life back to Him and His control and say, renew my faith. Maybe you want to pray this morning. We have our altars here. If you need to pray, you're welcome to come and pray today. But I pray that you'd refocus back on faith rather than fear as we sing together. Our hearts right now, Holy Spirit, I pray, be our comforter, be our counselor, call us back to our walk of faith. Father, you are omnipotent, you're omniscient, you're omnipresent, you are our sustainer, you're our provider. We're safe on the journey with you, we're traveling in your presence. Sense that peace. We call for your power and presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You have a day.